105 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. All along the eastern seaboard, high winds and flooding in some areas in New York City. ABC's Janice Yu on Long Island.
City officials say they are prepared for any damage, any help that residents may need, but definitely a windy morning out here. If you are commuting, keep that in mind. Make sure you're slowing down. Again, we saw a lot of people speeding on the road. Slow down. Take it easy.
That storm causing hundreds of delays and cancellations of flights during a very busy travel period the week before Christmas. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin expected to press Israel to wind down major combat operations in Gaza. He has traveled to Israel this week. France, the UK, and Germany all joining global calls for a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. White House and Senate negotiators expected to continue talking today, trying to reach a deal on border security as Donald Trump echoed Nazi rhetoric over the weekend, saying immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. This is ABC News. In Texas, an urgent manhunt for an escaped inmate sentenced to life in prison for abusing a child. Authorities say Robert Yancey broke out of a prison near Houston on Sunday. He was last seen in a white Nissan, possibly with a woman behind the wheel. With a week to go before Christmas, today is the deadline to adopt a Dear Santa letter. The U.S. Postal Service running Operation Santa for more than a century now. But a word of warning from ABC's Brad Milkey.
What's weird is as you click through all these letters, almost all of them seem to ask for iPhones, computers, gaming consoles. Some kids want these things, of course, but could some of these just be coming from adults who want free stuff? A few years ago, some postal workers were busted for submitting their own letters to the program, but the Postal Service says no one should feel pressure to send expensive gifts. A response from Santa, they say, or the donation of a special skill is a win.
Last year, folks adopted more than 25,000 letters, sending more than 18,000 packages to needy kids. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden is coming back to Wisconsin. The White House says the president will be in Milwaukee on Wednesday to talk about his initiatives to help small businesses. It'll be Biden's third visit to Wisconsin this year, and it's a sign of how important Wisconsin is in next year's presidential race. Biden leads Donald Trump 50-48 in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette poll. It could cost as much as $1 billion to replace all lead water lines throughout the state of Wisconsin. That's according to new estimates from the State Department of Natural Resources. There are around 150,000 lead service pipes throughout the state and another 229,000 that may have connections made out of lead. While the state did get federal funding to offset the cost, that federal money is only enough to replace around 95,000 lines. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Tampa wins the Battle of the Bays. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers lost to the Buccaneers 34-20. The longer the game, the further Green Bay fell behind. Questions being raised about the future of Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry. Did he provide the right game plan? Packers linebacker Rashawn Gary.
Of course, going into the game, I feel like we got the right game plan. I feel like we're able to execute and come out on top. But to see the breakdown of the game, see how things went right or left, I have to go back, watch film, which I'm about to do in a couple of minutes to see where we went right or wrong. And like I said, come back, but make them corrections. and get to work.
Is it time to fire Joe Barry? Matt LaFleur.
Now's not the time for that.
Why is that?
Because now's not the time. I'm trying to find solutions, and I got to go back and take a look at the film.
NBA, the Bucks with a win over the Rockets, 128-119, and another franchise record for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Another game ball today. Giannis, all-time leading rebounder in Bucks history. I think he has four of those. Points, assists, blocks, now rebounding.
That's the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly cloudy and a little breezy this morning, becoming sunny and less windy here as we head into the afternoon. Our high today, 22. The wind northwest at 15 to 25 this morning, about 5 to 15 by later this afternoon. Tonight, clear, down to 8 above. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high of 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 17.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio, 7:06 on a Monday, October 30th. Nice to have you along here. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk to Missy Hughes of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to talk about Wisconsin being named a national technology hub and the potential launch pad it could be for the state's economic future, as well as the benefits that it can bring to our health care and to our own personal health moving forward. Along the way, our number is 844-967-2789. You can email us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Selena Heller is with us, as well as Greg Bach, who is joining us from Waukesha, where... if I hit the button right, I can bring in here. There you go. There's Greg now. Greg, good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Okay. And okay, you've met Selena, Greg. Greg, Selena.
We go way back.
Good morning.
Okay. Go way back at least, wait, 8-9 minutes here. So that's
yes.
Just fine.
Trevor.
Selena, Up North News reporter based out of Eau Claire. But first story that we're going to talk about in terms of things that you've been covering for Up North News actually gets down closer to Greg's neck of the woods over in Brookfield, where we have a principal of the year. And by principal of the year, I don't mean the kind of principals Greg Bach and I couldn't possibly live up to. We're talking the the principal, P-A-L.
Yes.
Tell us more about him.
Yes. Andy Farley has been named the National Principal of the Year, and he's the principal of Brookfield East High School. And he's a very, knowledgeable. And I got a chance to talk with him on the phone for quite a while last week. And it was very inspirational to hear from him. He was one of three finalists from across the country, and he was selected. It was quite a lengthy process. Lots of items submitted on behalf of him from parents and students. So it was quite the process, and he was selected. And he said one of the things that he loves to do is, and that's important to him, his goal is to talk to each one of the kids in his school and learn about them and learn what their goals are, their pathways in life and their histories. And he just feels like those relationships are transformational for the kids. So he makes it a point for himself to try to do that. And so I think he is very deserving of this award, and he has 1,400 students in his high school. So that's quite a feat to try to get to know each one of them.
Yeah, without a doubt, especially since it puts a whole much more positive spin on the notion of what a principal is. And, you know, Greg can agree or disagree with me here, but, you know, long before, as kids, you don't think about the administrative tasks, you know, that a principal's mm-hmm. running the school, and there's paperwork and there's meetings. You know, the principal was, at least in my day, was the chief law enforcement officer. You did yeah. not want to get, it was one thing, you know, to be put, you know, sent to the corner or the hallway, but if you were sent to the principal's office,
No, thank you. Because my principals growing up were all nuns.
Yeah, see, that's where I was going. That's where I was going. And while I don't, I only did 1 year of Catholic school. My parents had both gone to Catholic school. My wife went to Catholic school, and they all have stories about the nuns. I mean, they would kick your butt if you stepped out of line, and you know nobody was going to stop them. And that's not, it's not what principals do these days. But that was kind of the impression we were given as kids. You know,
it's so scary a place. Yeah, the principal's office.
This is
I think my background's a little different than yours, because I think when I went to the principal's office, it was, you know, because some award or something.
You were getting an award. Oh my God. This is what we're dealing with here.
A whole different experience.
Another National Honor Society award. I couldn't possibly.
No, my locker is full. I can't hang another award on here. Poor Selena. But I am glad to see that, because you know, a teacher's work is hard enough, and any kind of support that you can get, not just from teachers' aides or parents, but from the principal as well, whatever turns that into a more positive experience is a good thing. So sounds like you were definitely impressed talking to the principal and getting a feel for what leads to awards like these.
Oh my goodness, yes. He had so much to say, and you could tell, you know, those people in those positions are so caring and care so much about their students. So very deserving.
That's awesome. The next story that you're going to talk about deals with farm-to-table restaurants. But before I get to that, just the whole notion of cooking, I have to say that winter cooking has kicked into high gear here, at least here this weekend. I am an addict to the Instapot. And have made my first batch of white chicken chili for the season. Turned out so good. And it's also time to bust out the cast iron skillets. I made a shepherd's pie. Now, before anybody calls in or writes in, you're going to hear from people, it's not shepherd's pie if it's made with, you know, ground beef. It's only if it's made with lamb. If it's made with ground beef, it's called something else. No, it's shepherd's pie. Okay.
Yeah, I would go with that too.
Nope, nobody's making it with lamb over here.
That was your old man take there. Like, it's, I don't care what I put in it. It's a shepherd. Yeah. I'll put shepherd in it if I have to. It's shepherd pie.
It's got real bits of shepherd in there, so you know it works.
I have neither in my freezer, so it's gonna be a hamburger.
Yes. I love that. I saw a display of Busch Light in the grocery store one day. It was like the first Instagram video I think I ever did. And it just happened to come upon me that there was two kinds. There was apple, and then there was one that was dedicated to farming. And so I had the video on the one that said, you know, Busch Light with apple. It's got bits of real apple, so you know it's good. And I'd move the camera over here. This one, Busch Light Farmer. It's got bits of... And you go, oh my God, this is terrible. No, somebody tell somebody.
It's the only Busch Light Derek Van Orten would drink.
whatever helps the farm bill. Yes. Well done. All right, let's get to the farm to table restaurants instead, Selena. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I focused on the ones that are actually open now here in Western Wisconsin, because we know there are kind of a whole array of them in the summertime, which is a whole different batch because they're open air farms to go to, and you have a whole different experience of seeing the beautiful Wisconsin countryside. So those have since closed. So now we can still go to farm to table restaurants in the wintertime, and there's a whole batch of them in Western Wisconsin. We've got the Lakely, the Informalist, the Good Wives, and those are all in Eau Claire, Restore Public House in La Crosse, Table 65, New Richmond, the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua, and there are so many more than that. And what's neat about them is a lot of them on their menus or in the they have a list on the back of the menu where their items are sourced from, so local farms. So whether that be meat or greens or watermelons or anything like that, you can tell where the items are sourced, and that those support local local farmers, of course. So well, pretty neat places.
It is. It's a nice setup because, again, when you can be locally sourced, look, so many restaurants, you know, rely on, you know, wholesale distributors. And so I'm being a little too harsh when I say that some restaurants, it just feels like they backed up the Cisco truck and they're serving, yeah. you know, whatever comes off the back of it. Mm-hmm. Again, nothing, you can't get everything local necessarily. There's a time and a place for distributors, but again, the more localized we can make these things, the more that we can lift up not just farms, but, you know, producers of all types of, you know, meat and everything else, you know, that's good for local economies. And it's got to be healthier too.
Well, right. And that's one of the points too. It's healthy. Of course, like you mentioned, it just all circles back into the economy. So it helps so many different things. And there's so many positive benefits from supporting farm to table restaurants mm-hmm. and the farmers themselves.
Yeah. Without a doubt. I don't know the situation in Waukesha there, Greg, in terms of farm to table, though I will say just in listening to one of the promos down there, you know, that clearly you guys are very proud of your farmer's market in Waukesha.
Oh, we love ourselves a farmer's market. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I got one here in Waukesha. I live in Kenosha. We got one there. Two actually really nice ones. It's just, it's lovely.
Good. Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, we're at 7:15 now, actually 7:16 now. And because we're doing the whole new setup with Greg over at the Waukesha studio instead of the Madison one, we may or may not get Jen in here from Weatherology with a forecast. Greg's just going to jump right in if in fact Jen is on the line. I'm just going to say temperatures right now are 30 degrees colder than they were this point on Friday. And they're going to stay good and chilly for a good long time. And let's see, Greg, was that Jen by chance on there? All right. Well,
Jen.
All right. Let's bring Jen on right now and find out just how, if we're going to keep the cold weather here along for quite a while. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. And it does look like essentially that's kind of the case here for today and tomorrow, those cooler temperatures. Today, sunny skies for most, a bit more cloud cover around Amory and Baldwin. Looks like highs in the mid to upper 30s for everyone, well below average for this time of the year, as most should be around about the low to mid 50s instead. We saw that cold front push through the area here, or through the state here over the weekend, so cool temperatures sticking around for today and tomorrow. For tonight, a chance for snow coming in for everyone. Accumulating snow expected around Wausau and west central Wisconsin, an inch or two possible for those locations. Then for Tuesday, still a chance for some snow across the board, mostly during the morning hours from Wisconsin Rapids northward, with skies becoming mostly sunny by the afternoon. Then throughout the daytime hours of snow for southern Wisconsin, looks like 1 to 2 inches of snow accumulating potentially around Oshkosh down to Waukesha and Milwaukee. Highs tomorrow pretty similar to today, mid to upper 30s once again. Midweek Wednesday, sunny skies closer to Lake Michigan, otherwise partial sunshine develops for everyone else. Still mid-30s around Amory and Baldwin to Wausau, then upper 30s to low 40s for everyone else as a warm front begins to push through. Thursday sunshine for most, a little more cloud cover around west central Wisconsin, mid to upper 40s from Oshkosh southward, upper 30s to low 40s from Wisconsin Rapids north. And then for to round out the work week here on Friday, cloudy skies for all, a few spotty rain chances in the afternoon for Baldwin and Amory, otherwise low 50s for southern Wisconsin, then lingering in the 40s for the rest of the listening areas.
And then in terms of that snow, I mean, is this something that we're going to see on all surfaces, or is just mostly grassy surfaces, or are we going to look at a possible need to be careful on the roads?
Need to be careful on the roads, especially overnight tonight into early tomorrow morning.
Okay. Keep that in mind for your driving and for your trick-or-treating as well. Jennifer Pachitsky from Weatherology. Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right. And 7 a.m. temperatures include 19 in Hayward. And just, 18 degrees in Park Falls, 22 here on Lake Wissota, 28 Green Bay, La Crosse 27, Oshkosh 27, Waukesha 27 degrees as well. More with Selena Heller and Greg Bach. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is Up North News Radio. We'll be back. And your friends, baby, they treat you.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the fabulous farm babe Pam Jahnke on The Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Again, we noted Timothy B. Schmidt has a birthday today. Grace Slick, who you just heard, has a birthday today. Packers lost to the Vikings 24-10. The Vikings probably lost Kirk Cousins for the year. Bucks lost at home against Atlanta, 127-110. Badger football team fell to Ohio State. The Badger women's volleyball team swept Minnesota. The men's hockey team swept Minnesota, and they're number one ranked at the time. Badger women's hockey swept St. Thomas, and World Series Game 3 is tonight. More sports coming up at the bottom of the hour. Selena Heller is with us now, along with Greg Bach in Waukesha. And Selena, you know, you're stomping grounds in the Black River Falls area. I mean, they were in the news recently for that, for the flash flooding. I was about to commit that mistake of, you know, of bad flash flooding. Well, there's no good flash flooding. or that really quick bout of flash. Well, that's what the flash stands for in flash flooding. So, Selena, I'm not going to be no superlatives. Selena, there was flash flooding in Black River Falls. But it sure grabbed your attention, that video.
Oh my gosh, goodness, yes. So when all six gates of the dam in Black River Falls on the Black River are open, you pay attention. And it goes over the spillway, and that's what everybody kind of watches, because there's been a history in that area of some issues happening with the river and it rising. And in Black River Falls is known for the flood of 1911, so which wiped out really the whole entire downtown community, because the river is right along the downtown. So then in 2011, the dam went out. So in 2012, it got rebuilt. So it had a new capacity for water flow through there. And so this last week was the fifth highest crest it had ever had. The dam held up well.
And it was totally, again, unexpected in that we knew that there was rain coming that day. We knew there was heavy rain. But I don't think anybody was expecting the 6 inches or so that ended up falling.
Right. And this is what happens in the spring, not at this time of the year. So we expect that in the spring. But Black River is no stranger to those floods and through the grove, as we call it down there. So a lot of docks get washed away and boats, and they have to be prepared. And they had a lot of water come through there.
Okay. Just in time for Halloween. And you are, I see, properly attired for Halloween. That seems to be some kind of a pumpkin-y top there. And
yes, and this is our
What
pumpkin.
Is that? It looks like a painted pumpkin.
Yeah, we did a shave ice pumpkin.
Okay. Meaning there's a little white paper that's curled on there, and it looks like...
Yes.
It looks like a snow
cone. Make
it look
frosty. So that will be entered into the school pumpkin contest this
spring.
And
to be clear...
Where Selena expects to win.
No. Now let's figure out how much of that was done by her and how much was done by Emery, who's 6 years old. Right?
Yeah.
I have her do it. I say, you know, pick something that you can do. It's not mine. So she painted the whole thing, and
she painted those nice straight lines on there.
She did. And... She did the whole thing, and she put the stuff on it, and she wrote this.
She wrote that too.
You can tell. Okay. Yeah. And she said, can I put hearts on it? I said, sure.
Greg, I don't know that I'm buying this. I mean,
she did it all. She wanted to make a camper.
She did it all.
She did it all.
You will believe me.
She's a 6-year-old Michelangelo in the making, I tell you.
She did it. Pick something you can do.
So just in time for Halloween, you were also working on the creepy crawlies around here, spiders, bugs, things like that, that are unique to Wisconsin. So let's get everybody sufficiently chilled for Halloween, thinking about these little monsters.
Oh my goodness! When I was looking for gross bugs in Wisconsin, I was so grossed out looking at these pictures, and some of these bugs like go into animals and they live under their skin and they're just gross. And then some just stab another bug and then suck out their insides. And so there's a whole list of lots of gross, creepy, crawly bugs that are found in Wisconsin.
All right. And
awesome.
But you fry them up and they make for a tasty breakfast. And Whiskers has invaded the camera view.
Here's
now.
Said,
immediately heard bugs and thought, okay, breakfast, good. What's the deal there?
Yeah.
And for that, what Selena's working on there, you can go to upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnewswi for all the social media posts and find out what she's putting up about that. And then one more, a place called Castle La Crosse. And if it's Castle La Crosse, we got to be talking about lumber barons. And by the way, Greg, why is it that we're talking about lumber baron? Let's bring the word baron back.
I like that.
I mean, why isn't Steve Jobs was a baron and Bill Gates was a baron, Elon Musk is
barely a baron.
Well, I was going to come up with a name I probably couldn't say on the radio, but anyway, so we've got lumber barons, and mm-hmm. one of them had quite the place in La Crosse that you profiled.
Yes, a very fancy home. And the unfortunate thing, he was having it built and he passed away, so he didn't even really get to live in it. So, shoot. But his wife and kids did.
Shoot.
Shoot.
So how big is this house?
It's 30 rooms and 10 bathrooms.
10 bathrooms.
In the course of its history, it was once sold to the Diocese of La Crosse. It was called the Bishop's House because the bishop lived in it. And then some private families after that. And now this recent purchase was a couple of guys. They kind of reinvigorated it to a bed and breakfast. So there are 4 guest suites in it. It's beautiful. There are pictures on our social media pages. And the rooms are beautiful. And everybody who has stayed in there says it's just amazing.
Did you mention already the year that it was constructed or when it was
it's
built?
It's 130 years old, okay. Something like that.
All right. Mm-hmm. So right around the turn of the last century. Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't see many of them anymore, obviously. Over the years, they fall into disrepair, burned down or what have you. So it is a cool deal when something is salvaged and can be restored. Stillwater, Minnesota, up here in this neck of the woods would be, another one where you see a lot of bed and breakfast from these old, old places. But I'm not aware that I've ever stayed any place with 10 bathrooms before. And I'm just not even sure why a lumber baron would need 10 bathrooms necessarily.
A lot of roughage in those trees.
You beat me to it. I thought, do I go there? No, that's why we brought Greg on. Greg will go there for us. We appreciate
that. We need one of those. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm your clown, friends. I am your clown.
Get him a little horn. So for Halloween then, Selena, did you take trick-or-treating over the weekend, or is it a Tuesday night thing?
Well, we went to a little thing over the weekend, and another thing, so we've been, The Little Mermaid. I was Sebastian, so we have Ursula, but Barbies. It's going to be Barbies. I'll be Weird Barbie tomorrow, and she will be Cowgirl Barbie.
Wait, do you mean the Kate McKinnon character from the movie?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, that's going to be a photo.
Well, we were on Saturday, so I had to try to get the pink and blue out of my hair for this morning, which was a challenge.
Oh, never. Keep it in.
Why keep it in? I mean, come on. Give us the satisfaction of enjoying a costume here. Well, good. And hopefully you were bundled up and everybody is bundled up tomorrow night as well, because it is just cold.
Yes.
Just another cold Halloween. Thank you, Selena. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. When we come back, Missy Hughes from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation will be here to talk about the new technology hub. You're up north.
We're hoping love will keep us alive.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. All along the eastern seaboard, high winds and flooding in some areas in New York City. ABC's Janice Yu on Long Island.
City officials say they are prepared for any damage, any help that residents may need, but definitely a windy morning out here. If you are commuting, keep that in mind. Make sure you're slowing down. Again, we saw a lot of people speeding on the road. Slow down. Take it easy.
That storm causing hundreds of delays and cancellations of flights during a very busy travel period the week before Christmas. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin expected to press Israel to wind down major combat operations in Gaza. He has traveled to Israel this week. France, the UK, and Germany all joining global calls for a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. White House and Senate negotiators expected to continue talking today, trying to reach a deal on border security as Donald Trump echoed Nazi rhetoric over the weekend, saying immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The man who made a bomb threat to the state capitol building in 2018 has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Terrence Grissom sent a letter to the Dane County District Attorney's office at the time saying there was a bomb in then-Governor Scott Walker's office. Grissom pled guilty to the charge earlier this month. Online shoppers should look out for scam artists. Courtney Ann Clam is a fraud expert with AARP Wisconsin. She says it's clear more people need to learn the red flags.
We talk about ads on social media. It's sometimes really difficult to discern if that's real or not. You know, the landscape is always shifting. People are maybe not keeping up as much as they should be on some of those new tactics.
She says only 28% passed a recent AARP quiz about warning signs for shopping and gift card scams. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Partly cloudy and a little breezy this morning, becoming sunny and less windy here as we head into the afternoon. Our high today, 22. The wind northwest at 15 to 25 this morning, about 5 to 15 by later this afternoon. Tonight, clear, down to 8 above. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high of 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Todd Almaz Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship, right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power, our veterans.
The Todd Almaz Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Back now on Up North News Radio, 7:34 on this Monday morning, October 30th. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Missy Hughes is about to join us from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. We'll start by talking about a special designation for the state that we got into late last week and hear a bit more about that. But there was also a Wisconsin Economic Summit that we'll be talking about as well. And Missy Hughes joins us now. Missy, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Nice to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us. And let's start with the news of that technology hub that was part of President Biden's CHIPS and Science Act and all of the potential that it has for Wisconsin. You want to start first with your reaction to Wisconsin getting the technology hub designation, because I know it was a lot of work to pursue that. Then we'll get into more about what it is, but let's start with the news that Wisconsin won that designation.
Well, it's tremendous news. There were hundreds of applications all around the country. And so for Wisconsin to really shine above those other applications, there were 31 designations out of, like I said, hundreds of opportunities. So we're really, really, really proud and excited about the work that's happened.
So how do you then describe it to, you know, lay folks when they say, what is this technology hub thing? You know, what tangible expectations do we have from it?
Well, first and foremost, the Biden administration reached out all across the nation and said to different regions and municipalities, we want your best ideas. We want to know what's happening in your region and how that's going to help us with some of our most pressing national security issues. And so Wisconsin got together, we brought together a group of leaders and we said, okay, you know, where do we shine? And of course, Wisconsin's economy is so diverse that we shine in many, many different ways. But we have an up-and-coming biohealth ecosystem that we are particularly excited about. So from the Milwaukee to the Madison corridor, reaching up into the Fox Valley, Green Bay, over to Eau Claire, we have folks working on what we're calling personalized medicine. And so it's this idea that when you go into your doctor, you get treatment that is exactly personalized to what you're experiencing. So imagine, God forbid, Pat, that you have a cancer tumor. In Wisconsin, we're developing not only genomic sequencing for how to treat that cancer, we're taking all the data that we know all around the world, and we're putting that data into what's the best treatment for that cancer. And then we're developing the advanced manufacturing to build the radiography and the machinery, the CAT scans, the MRIs that are going to treat that cancer. And so what we're seeing is all the way from the classroom and the labs at our universities to the hospital rooms, the potential to really change the game when it comes to your healthcare. And so we should be incredibly proud that it's happening. But from my perspective, from the perspective of the economy, we're also excited that it's happening because it's a real opportunity.
Let's talk about the public-private partnership aspect of this, because you're head of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, which was once upon a time the Wisconsin Department of Commerce, but again, now has more of a public-private face to it. These technology hubs appear to be an example of what, as well, of it's one thing to wait for the private sector to come in and hope that somebody comes in and builds a factory in your state or hometown. A public-private partnership does what in terms of, you know, making sure that the public sector, our elected representatives, our tax dollars have some kind of a role to play in economic development as well?
Well, what we're really wanting to do is take the public dollars and fill a market gap, right? If there's this opportunity that's happening, where can an injection of taxpayer public dollars really supercharge something? So if you think about our biohealth ecosystem that we're developing, the private sector is rocking and rolling on that. But honestly, they've been struggling a little bit with the workforce. And so the injection of dollars we anticipate will really help make sure that we've got the workforce to deliver when it comes to the research, when it comes to the entrepreneurship, and when it comes to the advanced manufacturing that we anticipate really seeing from this.
Okay, so there's a lot of potential here for this technology hub and for the job creation that could come from it. But you already hinted at something that is a very much a current topic, and that is workforce development, or you know, workforce training, the labor shortages that we are finding in some industries right now. And I'm not trying to go all glass half empty on this, but if we have difficulties right now because of not only demographics, but also, frankly, in my opinion, a hostile legislature, if we have difficulties right now with the labor shortage, how does this technology hub, how do you help yourself make sure that, this is something that where it's part of the solution and not exacerbating an already existing problem?
Well, what we have to really keep in mind is that we can't stand still. Right. I used to work for a farmer who would say, you're either moving forward or you're moving backward. You can't stand still. And so we have to keep moving forward in thinking about the workforce of tomorrow. And, you know, while we do have record high unemployment, I said that right, right?
Record high employment. Yeah.
Record low unemployment. I knew that came Monday morning. You know, we have to think about what are those jobs of tomorrow. And so where we have jobs today that are, you know, focused on taking care of somebody who's in really long-term chemotherapy treatment. And the reality is we can jump that patient ahead to a radiology treatment. Then we can see that start to free up some of that workforce. And so always thinking about where progress is taking us and preparing our workforce for it is really the key piece of addressing, you know, the challenges that we face today.
And that immediately makes me think of a case where we talked about helping people move from one group of jobs to another, and it didn't work out exactly that way. And that was NAFTA back in the 90s. And I think the economy paid a bit of a price because not enough was done to help workers whose jobs were, you know, frankly, outsourced to move into the jobs that we need now. The lessons that we've learned since that time, it seems to me, says all the more reason why we need to be supportive, not just of, say, the UW system and our tech colleges as a base, but to help them grow the work that they do to prepare a workforce. And that just brings me back to the UW-Madison, with all the potential it has to build up its College of Engineering, and yet that particular proposal seems stuck again in the state capitol. So you're certainly very well aware of the challenges we have to get people trained for the jobs of tomorrow.
Well, there was a lot there, Pat. The first thing that I'll say is I think what's really interesting about the technology hub is we're really looking for these things to be private sector led. In other words, the private sector is going to help us identify the gaps, and then we're going to come in as government and fill those gaps. The challenge where you have government really leading the market, I think, is when you see those kind of, you know, kind of policy challenges that then turn into real problems. The second piece I'll say is, you know, every day I have to talk to businesses about either expanding here or coming to Wisconsin or just keeping their operations going here. And the key to that is the workforce. The key to that is investing in our universities and our technical colleges. And I 100% agree that we have to be investing in those. Those are institutions that have been created for over 100 years. I was at the 175th anniversary of UW-Madison on Friday night. We've already invested in these institutions. It's a shame to let them, you know, die on the vine or even, you know, wilt a little bit. And so we really need to really keep investing in them. And we just have to keep talking to our legislature about that.
Yeah, especially with a record, you know, $7 billion budget surplus that we have going on here. But let's take a step back on the technology hubs. And I want to repeat, come back to a point that we made last week as well. And that is that this is not just people think, oh, technology jobs. These are things that are just going to be people in white lab coats, and you're going to need, you know, a postgraduate, you know, 6 years, 8 years of post high school training for that. to build the infrastructure of a technology hub as companies come in, as the you need distribution and everything else that comes along with it. I mean, this is so much bigger news than maybe some folks appreciate if this goes according to plan, right?
Yeah, I mean, if the way I think about it is, if you think about hospital jobs right now, you know, there's a lot of people doing very low tech, hard working jobs. And of course, we're still going to need that hands on delivery of service. But we're also going to need people to build these really high tech machines. We're going to need people to be able to maintain these really high tech machines. We're going to need people who are running these machines in the hospitals. And so the, you know, adding this technology to our healthcare will enable, you know, both the patient to get much better service, but also the delivery of that service to be much more high tech and a much more, you know, exciting opportunity for someone coming up in their career.
So that is a look at what could be a very bright Wisconsin future. Let's talk about the present here. And that was the focus recently of the 2023 Wisconsin Economic Summit in Appleton. And we're talking to Missy Hughes from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation about that. You had a theme for the summit called Together, all about partnerships. So can you tell us a bit about the Economic Summit and the types of current day topics that business leaders explored?
Well, what we're doing at the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is hosting an annual Wisconsin Economic Summit in order to really focus on where is our economy actually and how is it actually doing. There's a lot of noise out in the world about, you know, this and that and things going up and down. The reality is when we talk to our businesses, when we talk to our workforce, people have their choice of jobs, they, you know, as long as they have the skills that they need. And our businesses are doing everything they can to hang on to their workforce. They're increasing benefits. They're looking at wages. They're thinking about flexibility. And our businesses, you know, when I talk to them, they are so anxious to grab onto the opportunities that they see out there. Their markets are increasing. Their opportunities are increasing. And so the Wisconsin Economic Summit provides us an opportunity to kind of regroup and say, okay, the economy is still very, very strong. How do we together address the things that we need to do in order to keep that going? How do we address making sure that everybody has a chance to get to work and to fully participate, whether it's, you know, through transportation challenges or childcare challenges? Those are the things that together we need to really be working on in order to keep the economy going as strong as it is.
And one of the topics that you covered was called innovative sustainability and energy solutions. And I'd like to know a bit more about that, because we spend a lot of time focusing on the human aspect, you know, the labor shortage and workforce development. But when it comes to energy and sustainable resources, especially in an era of a changing climate, these are the kinds of things that businesses, is it worth their while to learn more about it?
Well, this is another place like biotech where we really see Wisconsin businesses storming ahead. We had the opportunity to talk with businesses like Kimberly-Clark and U.S. Energy and the Menominee Timber Company and talk to them about what are they doing, what are the opportunities they see when it comes to sustainability. And it's both a question of they're meeting the consumer's needs, but also doing business more productively and efficiently, and therefore being more successful. So these are things that are already happening in the Wisconsin economy and in our industry. And so we wanted to highlight them and let people know that, again, there are more opportunities out there than not.
All right. So we've come to the point where you've talked about the things that businesses and investment would like to do for Wisconsin. But I have to close by saying that we're still in a fall legislative session. Do you have a wish list for before the legislature wraps up the calendar year?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be investing in our universities and making sure that our university employees are taken care of. Let's get that engineering building built. As you said, we've got a record surplus. We should be investing some of that back in Wisconsin and thinking about the future.
Very good. Missy Hughes from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Missy, great to talk to you. Come back again soon. Wish you all the best.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk to Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director. Three things you should know to get the week started here on a Monday morning, October 30th, here on Up North News Radio. We'll be back.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZ.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you. You've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Terry Bell joins us now, Civic Media News Director from Madison. Greg Box here from Waukesha. And Terry, you and Greg, I assume, have chatted. How many more introductions do I have to do with you, Greg? I just don't know.
All right, Pat.
I'm trying to be nice.
Terry, I'm Greg. It's a pleasure to meet you.
I think we've crossed paths remotely before.
Yeah, but we've seen each other on the Zooms.
Here's the thing. When you're building a big old radio network and you're building it through all these Zooms and virtual studios and everything, we only got like the entire team together once, and it was last Christmas, and roughly 50% of the workforce caught COVID as a result of it. So, you know, we haven't really done much all together since then, but I'm hoping we can rectify that eventually.
Yeah.
At which point, when you ever notice when that happens, what's the first thing when everybody says, "Oh, you look different," and what they mean is, "Oh, you're larger than I thought," or "You're taller," or "You're shorter," or whatever.
Oh, you're a big boy.
Yeah. Yes. Or wow, there's a lot more gray in there than I was expecting.
My mom does that all the time. She goes, "Oh, you got more gray in your beard than you used to." I'm like, "You say that every time I see you." Mm-hmm. And that's just mean. Yeah. It's just mean.
I know. Well, and Terry and I, of course, having both worked at Channel 13, we have the photographic evidence. We're always looking back and people going, "Oh, I remember you from TV." And we're like, How can you tell looking at us now compared to how we looked then, you know?
Oh, my goodness, right.
That was some time back. How was your weekend, Terry?
I had a really nice weekend. There was plenty to do. You've probably talked about this. I haven't had a chance to listen in. But one thing that really struck me this weekend, and I almost put this in the three things, just how moved people are by Matthew Perry's death. Outpouring was surprising to me somewhat. I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but people were really, really affected by that.
Oh, yes. I mean, because you knew that he was having struggles with addiction and that his health had taken quite a toll after that. But it does make it no less shocking, and that's the unfortunate part. The Badger volleyball team,
which
we always talk about every week. They won both of their matches over the weekend, including sweeping Minnesota yesterday. But I have to admit, Terry, when I mentioned it on Friday that they're going to be on TV, I saw on the schedule it said Fox FS2, and I thought they must mean Fox Sports 2. No, they actually meant Fox. That was the first time Fox has ever aired nationally on the network a volleyball match.
Like, I think it's a great step forward. You know, women's sports, NCAA sports is really having a moment. Nebraska's big events at their football stadium a couple of months ago. Shattered records. Iowa, the University of Iowa, did something similar with the women's basketball team, and that was a huge success. The Badgers are responsible for a couple of attendance records so far this season in some of the arenas they've played, including Fiserv Forum. People are really catching on and seeing what a great product NCAA women's sports is, and they are rightfully winning a lot of fans. I suspect a lot of people tuned into that match yesterday. It was probably the first time they'd ever seen a volleyball match on TV, and I suspect they had a lot of fun watching it, even though it was not a close game. It was an exciting game, a lot of exciting rallies.
I think anytime somebody's exposed to it the first time, though, they just go, wow, there's a lot more talent. And it's not in the same way that when you see the beach volleyball in the Olympics and things like that, that this is a whole different animal, and there's just so much skill there. All right, let's turn our attention to three things to know to start the week. First is the latest on the Israel war against Hamas and the starting of a ground incursion into Gaza.
Yep, that happened on Friday. Right now, it seems that the death toll in Gaza is up over 8,000 people. That's the most recent number I could glean. But things are getting more violent, more dire, not only with the violence, but the breakdown of the social order. People are raiding warehouses of food. Civilians are getting really desperate in all kinds of ways. And it just speaks to what a tragic situation this war is all around. So yeah,
without a doubt. And I think it's something that'll be with us for a while here. Number two on three things to know is about how several states, Wisconsin included, are suing Meta, the parent company of Facebook. And that's really kind of about protecting our kids in the areas of things like online addiction, right?
Oh, especially, and kids are so susceptible to this. I mean, I suspect a lot of people listening use social media, but you're always getting these push notifications. Your phone is going off, letting you know that there's something happening on this app or that app, which may not actually be anything of any consequence. But these features are built in to keep your attention, hold your attention, and these attorneys general, including Wisconsin's Josh Call, 33 attorneys general in all, are suing because they maintain it's been really bad for kids in particular and taking a real toll on their mental health in terms of, you know, how much of their, you know, teenage self-esteem is fragile to begin with, and then you add all this pressure to it. And also, you know, there was a memo from a couple of years ago from Meta executives that they shared, saying they absolutely knew about all this. Mm-hmm. Now the company says they've taken steps to improve this situation, but still these attorneys generals are saying not enough is being done.
And very quickly, the third thing is that there is now a winter heating cost forecast, I say, as it's 22 degrees up here on Lake Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The good news is that prices are going down somewhat. The bad news is this still is forecasting to be the third most expensive winter on record. Fuel prices are stabilizing somewhat, but still quite volatile.
All right, Terry. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Hey, Greg, thank you so much. Hope day one went all right.
I'm giving myself a solid B. Tomorrow will be A plus.
Awesome.
Yes.
See, I like that attitude. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Let's see. We've got Earl Ingram coming up next across much of the Civic Media Network. Chad Holmes in Wausau, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James in Wisconsin Rapids. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is...
In the breast.
Breaking breast. Breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Severe weather moving up the eastern seaboard. What started as a storm in Florida traveled along the I-95 corridor, bringing high winds, heavy rain, and flooding to much of the East Coast. Senate negotiators failing to reach a deal on border security, which House Republicans have tied to funding for the wars in Israel and Ukraine. There was some new action along the border over the weekend, however.
Officials at the U.S.-Mexico border are temporarily suspending freight train crossings.